Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I always consider it a total privilege to stand in this place. I never ever want to get to the point where I take it for granted, where I stand up here to entertain. I'm not a good entertainer. There are millions more that you can get that will entertain you better than me. But I want to be able to be God's mouthpiece in this place today. And I always ask the Lord that I'll do him good with what I say, that I'll represent him well in the things that I say. And so it's in that thought that I come to you this morning, because we're looking at the very words that Jesus says. It's not a difficult, in-depth message today, because the words are simple that Jesus uses, and yet they're so profound if we really take them on board and understand them. And so we're going to look at another self-portrait of Jesus. Jesus telling us who he is in his own words, in these words that we're looking at today. And the context in which Jesus says it is the Last Supper. They're all gathered there for the Last Supper. And Jesus is preparing his disciples for what is going to come. And it seems to me that the more he tries to tell them what is coming, the more confused they are. They don't seem to understand it at all. And so we're going to look at John chapter 13. And verse 21. And it says this: "Now Jesus was deeply troubled, and he exclaimed, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me.' The disciples looked at each other, wondering whom he could mean. The disciple Jesus loved was sitting next to Jesus at the table. Simon Peter motioned to him and asked, 'Ask him, who is he talking about?' So that disciple leaned over to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, who is it?' Jesus responded, 'It's the one to whom I give the bread I dip in the bowl.' And when he dipped it, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. When Judas had eaten the bread, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus told him, 'Hurry and do what you're going to do.' None of the others at the table knew what Jesus meant. Since Judas was their treasurer, some thought that Jesus was telling him to go and pay for the food or to give some money to the poor. So Judas left at once, going out into the night. As soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, 'The time has come for the Son of Man to enter his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will give his own glory to the Son, and he will do so at once. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going. So now I'm giving you a new commandment: love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples.' Simon Peter asked, 'Lord, where are you going?' And Jesus replied, 'You can't go with me now, but you will follow me later.' 'But why can't I come now, Lord?' he said. 'I am ready to die for you.' Jesus answered, 'Die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me.'" And it's in this chaos, in some ways, in the upper room, in this troubled minds of the disciples, that Jesus speaks his words of comfort. even though he's just talked about betrayal and denial. He reaches out to his disciples and speaks to them the lovely words of comfort in John 14:1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way where I'm going. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We've no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You know, it's important to get to know the way if you're ever going to reach your destination. And I liked what Lee was saying before, because the Lord put that on my heart too, that so many of us trust in sat-navs, but I'm on the older end of the scheme. And I think I have heard so many stories of how sat-navs have gone wrong. And it's even made the news when a farmer's ended up, has ended up in a farmer's field or something like that, because he's followed sat-nav. And I have done it myself. I do trust sat-nav to some degree. But I remember going at 80 miles an hour in the outside lane on the motorway. Forgive me, I should have been 70, but I was doing 80. And as I was going along, Mrs. Woman clicks in and she says, in 300 yards, turn right. And I thought, you're having a laugh, lady. I am not turning anywhere's right. They can be trusted for a while, but I tell you, a map is a great thing. Because I just feel, if you have a look where you're going and have a good idea, well, you can use sat-nav and you know when she's going wrong. But somebody seems to have been there before and they've drawn out the roads on a map. And so it's good when somebody has been there before. You need to have an idea where you're going so that you can arrive at your destination. And Jesus saying to the disciples, I've been there. I know where you're going. I am the way. I am. And we've said this each time that we've looked at each of these phrases. I am, the term that is used for God in the Bible. And Jesus uses it to show that he is God himself. It's the same term that God uses in the Old Testament. I am. He used it with Moses. Tell them, I am, has sent you. And Jesus is saying, I am. I am. And then if we understand that Jesus has the right credentials, we'll learn to trust him more. If we understand that this is Jesus, God himself, the creator of the universe, we'll understand that he's totally to be relied on. I am the way. Jesus uses the definite article, if you remember from your school days, that is the definite article. And he uses the way because he's the only way. He doesn't say, I am a way. He says, I am the way. We live in a world which wants us to believe that there are many roads to God, all kinds of different ways, and in fact, there are many gods. And it doesn't really matter what you believe. But Jesus was saying to the people, I am the way. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. And I am the way. The way is a route or a path. And the disciples were expressing their confusion about where Jesus was going and how they could get there. And Jesus is saying the same thing to them in this scenario as he did in the very beginning. Follow me. Follow me. I am the way. They weren't sure at all about their future. That's why John 14 tells us they were troubled. In that Greek word, it's more like they just weren't just troubled. They were deeply troubled. They were unsettled. They were churned up. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. They had walked with him. They had seen the things that he had done, and they'd begun to think that this was God's Messiah, and now he was talking about going away. Now he was talking about death and having to die. And so they are fearful. They are lacking in understanding of what Jesus is doing. And Jesus is speaking words of comfort into their fear and uncertainty. I am the way. Don't worry. I have made provision for you. I have prepared a place for you to spend eternity with me. I am the way to heaven, and I am the way to life. When you're struggling to know which way to turn, what do I do now, Lord? I am the way, Jesus says. We're all going to get lost at some point in life. I think that's pretty normal. But we've got to look at Jesus and know he's saying, I am the way. I'm the way in your problem marriage. I'm the way through your failing finances. I'm the way in your difficult relationships. I am the way when things don't work out for you as you thought they would, and everything around you is a mess. I am the way. I am the way to heaven, but I am the way in life. So Jesus says to his disciples, you can come where I'm going because I am the way. Jesus said to them, I am the truth. We live in a world full of lies and deceit and mistrust. I don't know what kind of things get you, whether it's the adverts on the telly that tell you, you know, you can look 26 years younger if you use this cream and all of that kind of stuff. Or if you're going a bit more political and you look at Brexit, I tell you, I was an undecided. I watched every TV interview, the news, the debates. I watched the lot to get an informed view before I made my decision. And I tell you what, a blind man on a galloping horse could have seen how many lies they were all telling on all sides to try and scare us into the path to follow their way. You know, when we say witness an incident, I can witness an incident and tell you exactly what happened and say this is the truth. But if my son witnesses the same incident and he writes down what happened, he could say, this is the truth. But I tell you, they probably won't be the same, because it's the truth as I see it, and it's the truth as he sees it. We come with our own thoughts and ideas. But when Jesus says, I am the truth, there's no angles, no sides. What he's saying is the truth. It can utterly be relied on. I need to know the truth. And the Bible tells me his word is truth. Jesus is truth. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And they're talking about Jesus. Jesus spoke the very words of God. He was the truth. If you believe that he is the truth, how much do you know this? How much do you understand his truth in the Word here? God said to Joshua in chapter 1 these words, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Success will come when you know the truth, when you know the truth and do it. And you know, in Psalm 119, I love what the psalmist is saying here. In verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I've promised it once and I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. I have suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again as you promised. Lord, accept my offering of praise and teach me your regulations. My life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. The wicked have set their traps for me, but I will not turn from your commandments. And the psalmist is saying, even when things are not working out as he expected, even when hell is breaking loose around him, if you like, I will still not turn from your word. I will trust the truth of your word. I don't understand it, but I am going to trust, Lord, what you say. I'll never let go of your truth. You know, we've all believed lies at one point or another in our lives, especially in difficult times. They're those voices in your head that tell you you'll never get through this, you're no good, life will never be the same again, life will never be good for you, or all kinds of different things that go on in our heads. I thought that only happened to me. But you know, every time I listen to people talking, they seem to get them same kinds of voices as well. And we can so easily be taken up with them and allow ourselves to be discouraged and pulled down. But God wants us to listen to his truth. I am the way and the truth. Trust in me and you will see that I am enough in all of your situations. It says this in John 8, verse 31. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You know, it's knowing the truth that sets you free. It's knowing that in the chaos, when Jesus says, "I will never fail you or forsake you," and you grab a hold of that, it sets you free from the mess that you're in. Know the truth. Jesus wants us to know that he is truth. He's in that upper room and there is so much of reality there that he's facing. Betrayal and denial from the ones he loves, from the ones he's been with, and even the cross itself. And yet his voice is the voice of comfort and encouragement. I am the way. I am the truth. And I just ask you today to let the timeless truth of God's word speak into your heart. Maybe you've been going through something this week, and maybe God has put some word into your heart, but you're really not confident to believe it, not confident to get a hold of it. Get a hold of the truth of God's word for your situation and your life right now. And then Jesus says to them, "I am the life." We need to know the truth today because we're all going to die. It doesn't matter your age. And sometimes we don't like to talk about it. As you get older, and if you're as old as me, you certainly think about it from time to time. You certainly realize that life is short and you've had the best part of your life right now. I mean, I don't mean in terms of what's happening in your life, but I mean in terms of age. I can't imagine I'm going to live for another 66 years because that would be horrible, I think. And I think I'd definitely rather get to the Lord sooner than that. So most of my life has gone. And we need to be realistic here. Each one of us is going to die. You know, this week we lost dear George. He was in his 80s. Jeanette lost a dear friend in work. She was 32. Yeah. And in the other side of Liverpool, a young man in his 20s was shot dead. Yeah. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. We need to understand that Jesus is the life. I am the life. We need one who is stronger than the grave. We need to know that Jesus has authority over death. So although death is coming, it doesn't have a hold on us anymore. He's already faced and defeated everything I'm afraid of. So I can follow him. There are two kinds of people listening to me today. And one of the kinds is those who have already trusted in the Lord, who have seen that he's true to his word. And there are those who haven't. Maybe you're not convinced yet. Maybe you're not ready. Maybe you've given up on God. For those of you who've come to Jesus and already trusting in him, I want to ask you, are you living the abundant life that God has promised? In John 10:10, he says, "The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life in all its fullness." Are you just getting by as a Christian? Are you getting through? Are you experiencing life in all its fullness? If you're not, what's holding you back? Because that is what Jesus has promised in his word. That is the truth. Are you convinced that Christ is enough for you in whatever situation and circumstance you're going through? And for any of you listening today who are undecided, the truth is this. In God's word, Romans 3 and 23 tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That fall short is missed the mark. All of us have missed the mark. All of us can't make it on our own. All of us will not be able to spend eternity with Jesus in our own right, because we've missed the mark. And Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The free gift of God is eternal life. I am the life, Jesus tells his disciples. And Jesus wants to tell each one of us that. He's made the way where there was no earthly way. He has made the way. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I want to ask you, have you entered in to all of that means today? There are millions in this world who have. Millions who have made that decision to follow Jesus and have understood something of his saving grace. Millions who will say, what a difference he's made in their lives. What a difference. And there are millions more coming every day. We might not see them in our country. Don't be alarmed. There are millions coming to Jesus every day. Jesus said in his word, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And Jesus is doing just that every day. Do you fully understand what it means when he says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life"? He was saying it to the disciples, to those who had followed him all of that time. And he's saying it to each one of us as his disciples today. I am the way. When you're confused about what's going on, when the chaos seems to have broken out around you, I am the way. I am the truth. You can utterly rely on the words that I have said to you. God's word is truth. I am the truth. There are no sides to it. It isn't from one point of view or another. It's exactly the truth. It's what's going to happen in life. And it shows us and tells us about the love of a God who cares so much for us. He sent his son. I am the truth and I am the life. If you want to live a life that sets you free, that is not the kind of life that a lot of people in the world live, where they're bogged down with the things that come their way. They're worried about tomorrow because they don't know what's coming in tomorrow. If you live that kind of life, Jesus is saying to you today, I'm the way. You don't have to live like that. I have come that you might have life in all its fullness, that you might experience the fullness of joy, even in the most difficult circumstances. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is enough for me, and I've decided to follow Jesus. Let's just pray together.